All right, today we got one of my good friends here, one of the coolest and down-to-earth people I know, a man of many ideas. He's done a lot for the music and art scene here in Las Vegas. Give it up for Abu.
Elevate your mind. Expand your thinking.
And so, my fellow Americans,
it's the E-Square Podcast.
But everything's recorded. All right, episode 2 of the E-Square Podcast. My boy Abu is in the motherfucking building. What's up, dog?
What's up, man? Sun God. Yeah. Sunny money.
Yeah, where you been, man? What you been doing? What's up?
Man, this pandemic stuff been going on. I've really just been taking personal time to get my finances right.
Yeah.
To just, you know, take notes, read
and
write.
It's tough for everybody, man.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, but it's a blessing at the same time, like in disguise, you know what I mean?
I'm not in no rush to go back to work, bro.
Man, right. You know what I mean? I know, my job hit me up the other day, bro.
Really? Yeah, people starting to get ready to open
up. I don't know if I want to go back.
Really?
You know, I haven't been collecting unemployment or nothing like that. I just been grinding.
Been chilling,
so I'm kind of used to this grind mode, you know what I mean? I done kind of converted almost over to it, you know what I'm saying? Like, fuck that job, man. I'm appreciative of it, but I don't know.
That job. We're all trying to get out of the fucking, whatever the fucking 9-to-5 bullshit we're doing, man.
I know.
Especially motherfuckers like us.
I know.
We got shit we got to accomplish, man. I can't see myself in 10 years.
Doing
bartending,
the same shit, right?
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's just like, come on.
Man,
I feel like I'm underachieving.
Yeah, I mean, at the same time, you know, as long as you stay busy, bro, you know, I know you stay busy.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have a problem with the job. It's just the fact that, shit, it is great being on your own time.
It is.
You know, chilling.
That time is priceless, bro.
For sure.
You know,
I could step back and shit, smoke
some. Even making six figures, like, man, still.
Exactly.
You know, if I go to work 8 hours a day, I'm still confined to that schedule. It's like, you know, but that's motivation. You know, I use it as motivation, especially now. I'm creeping up to 30, man.
I know. We all are, man.
Nah, are you 24?
Yeah, man.
I'll be 29 next month, bro. June 28th, I'll be 29, bro.
Yesterday, you was 24, though.
That's what's scary.
You know what I mean?
That's what's scary is because I don't want to wake up and be 34 and be like, damn, I didn't do nothing these last however many years. I mean, I don't feel like that now because, you know, I've been working and I've been doing my thing and, but I haven't fucked off my whole 20s, but I did fuck off a lot of my 20s.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, most people have, but people say it starts in your 30s.
Yeah.
Everything they say
I'm
starts in your 30s.
I'm looking forward to being 30.
Yeah, you know? Nah, for sure.
But
my brother just turned 30, man, and it's like, it was a whole kind of refresh for him. Mm-hmm. He has like, you know, his foundation is right, so he gets to live a little more. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's the main thing. It's really just, I'm just trying to stack my money and stay out of the way. But I also need to stay active. You know, because I don't want to just
doing this.
Well, yeah, this has been a big thing. This is a big step for me because ever since the whole get busy thing, we stopped doing that, and then I stopped managing artists. I was just like, man, I'm going back. I gotta get back to work. You know, because you don't get paid. Like when you're
in the
beginning, you don't you're spending money. You're going broke and doing it. So if you don't really love what you're doing, you're gonna find yourself in a fucked up situation.
Facts, yeah.
You know?
No, that's where I had to, I just hit J-Word today.
Okay.
And I had to let him know, like, man.
J-Word's the artist you're managing?
Yeah. But I just let him know, man, I've been taking off some personal time just to get myself situated. You know, I feel like you can't manage or do all that if you gotta manage yourself
first.
I know,
I feel you.
So.
Especially right now, it's just a weird time.
It is.
You know what I mean? Nothing, you can't really do much,
For sure.
So what did you, is that your first artist you managed?
Actually, no, man. One of my homies, Ronnie Mac, I used to manage him.
Ronnie Mac.
I know
who that is. He in Reno?
Reno.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
He just, I think he's out in the Bay now, but he's just doing his thing.
Was he from here originally?
Yeah. Well, no, he's originally from out there.
Oh.
Grew up here.
Okay.
And then now he's back out there.
Okay.
He graduated college and stuff. So when he was in Reno, it was really just one of my close homies. So I wouldn't even put the manager thing on it. He used to tell people that, kind of just to plug me in, let people know I'm out here. Like, oh, Abu managed me. So,
He was, I remember he was making some noise out there in Reno.
Reno's
I feel like it's a great market to hit. If you're
he
from
was
Vegas,
that guy out there, bro.
Yeah, if you're from Vegas, you should definitely do shows out there because it's a college town.
No,
it's not. And their college town is different than
big college
than
town.
UNLV.
Mm-hmm.
UNLV.
Oh man,
it's totally different. And I went to college out in Ohio, So I grew up, or I didn't grow up, but I had that experience of like a bunch of, like, there's a college like every 5 miles out there.
Yeah.
So there's, it's just a whole bunch of young adults, first time out of their parents' house, yeah, going crazy.
Yeah, yeah,
and they're doing rap shows, and these kids don't have nothing else to do.
Yeah, no, you know? Facts. So no, that's Reno, how it is they, in Reno. Man, every show they have is mm-hmm. going to be a crowd there because it's like, it's nothing
yeah,
else
to what do. Was it? What's the venue called? Jub Jub's.
Yeah. Nah, nigga. Yeah. Nah, I did an event up there before. I did
something
up
there. See, we need a venue like that out here.
Man, that would be awesome, man.
Do we have a venue like that out here?
No. We don't, man. We don't. Because Jub Jub's, I booked Jub Jub's before, bro. The place holds like 500 people or something.
Yeah, that's all you need.
And I booked it for $600, man. I put a deposit down for $300, and they let me make the money at the door before paying them the rest.
So you put a deposit down, and then you took the door?
Yeah. I took the door.
But that you just owed them that $600.
I owed them $300 more or whatever. But
so, yeah, see, maybe we could have – maybe there is a venue out here that exists, but the management is just not open to working with – Younger people.
Oh, that exactly.
You know?
Yeah. They do that for like the bigger, you know, promoters or whatever. But definitely not for somebody that they just see. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, I did a show with Ronnie Mac, so it was just like, you know, somebody that had juice in the city, and you know, just went out there and did my thing.
How did you promote those shows?
Ronnie was kind of that guy out there, man. But
so
it
wasn't much of like people were gonna come. Since he was there, he just had to like post it or anything.
Pretty much, yeah. I actually did a little like, which is another cool thing. They got the UNR radio.
Okay.
And I went out there and did that. I was with my homie Mikey, and I was with Kiari.
Kiari Stone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Trey, and I might have got that wrong, but because I'm always, you know, those are some of the local guys I support or whatever.
Yeah, you smoke a lot of weed. So
Yeah. I smoke a lot of weed, man. God damn it.
Yeah, I got you. So you were pounding the pavement out there.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Yeah. I mean, I just went out there. I think we went out there for a weekend. You know, I crashed the rental. That pretty much.
Oh, nice.
That ruined the trip.
Good job.
But
good
you know,
job, Abu.
Last time in Reno.
That was your first and last time in Reno.
Yep, still on my credit. Credit.
Oh, still on your credit.
Hey,
dude.
It's all good.
That credit will fuck you up, man.
You live and you learn.
You live and you learn. How old were you at that time?
I was 20. I was 20, bro. Damn. I wasn't even allowed at the bar. You know what I mean? But
you booked it, but you weren't allowed to go to the bar.
Wasn't allowed to go to the bar.
That's dope.
Yeah.
So then, so you were moving around out here. I mean, you've been around doing your thing for a while.
Yeah.
And then you got involved with the institution.
Yeah.
Was that like your next step, or did you have done?
Yeah, I think so. Like, I think, So I think I tried to do this Lil Uzi Vert show that didn't pan out right.
Mm-hmm. Was that when the whole Migos thing?
That was that thing. Okay. So, yeah. So, you know, shit.
So, what happened with that?
All right, man. Damn, this is like forever ago. But, so, with the Lil Uzi Vert thing, pretty much the venue didn't have the license, and the other promoter that did Migos that night, the same night, he knew that, and I was, like, doing great numbers. It was pretty, a lot of hype in the city. Mm-hmm. So, when he kind of found that out, he called Metro on the venue. He sabotaged it, pretty much. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was just a little another learning curve, you know what I mean? And I got that call right when I checked Lil Uzi Vert in the hotel. Mm-hmm. Like, right when I checked into the hotel, got that call. And then after that, yeah, I think that's when I busted out to Reno and did that one. Did, like, little house mansion parties and stuff.
So what happened with Uzi? You just sent him home? Or did you guys go to the Migos show?
That night, what happened, man? I mean, they were cool enough to not... Uzi's manager at that time,
because he wasn't popping yet.
Yeah, he just dropped Money Longer.
Okay.
So this is like, you know what I mean? And
he was on the brink. He was on the brink,
and we booked him for $5,500, man. Mm-hmm. It was a steal.
Damn.
It was gonna go crazy, bro. Mm-hmm. And his manager Layton at the time, he was an OG. He was older, and he came out here and he seen that I was like younger and doing it all by myself. So he didn't even trip. Like the second half of the deposit, he was like, man, it's all good, bro. Just get us home.
Yeah.
And I tried to actually get another venue, didn't fall through.
Mm-hmm. So that's what we're missing out here is a venue, man. Like a good venue with good management that'll let people kind of do their thing, you know.
Yep.
Especially like up and coming people do their thing, you know. But it's hard. It's always harder with hip hop out here.
Yeah.
Always harder.
Oh yeah, come on, man.
They don't want it. They don't want, you know.
This city, you know, it's really not for niggas.
Mm-hmm. It's racist. It's It's a west, you know, it's the middle of the desert. It's cowboy state.
It's old fashioned. Yeah. It's an old fashioned place.
But it's changing.
You want to slide me some of that water?
It's changing. That's all you, brother.
Yeah. But that's why, you know, institution, that was probably like, you know, close to my next phase or whatever. And that's why it was such a big thing for me.
Because
at that time, I was really interested in doing just the shows.
Mm-hmm.
And they just let me have all that freedom.
And so how did that come about? Because I'll never forget the first time I met Will.
Mm-hmm.
And he sat me down because I was trying to throw an event up there. I was doing the Get Busy stuff, and we were throwing B-boy competitions, and I wanted to. Me and Smurf were looking for a breakdancing or a venue for a competition.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah, and we found out that that Will was a B-boy.
Yeah.
So we were like, oh, he'll be open to a dope spot. We just cleared out, and it's perfect. And we didn't end up doing it there, but when I went up there. Well, I don't think Will, he didn't take me serious.
Okay, yeah, he's tough.
Yeah, he's tough, which he shouldn't have taken me serious because I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. I was winging it. And
yeah,
I was
yeah,
just
yeah.
a young kid. Like, yeah. I didn't, I was 23, you know, and and I was throwing events, and I was trying, and I was really doing all the work.
Yeah,
contacting, organizing, getting flyers. Well, Smurf was doing. It was me and Smurf, and he was taking care of the B-boy shit and everything on that side. He was doing, but I was doing venues and organization and time and dates and all that shit. And but I'll never forget when I met Will. He sat me down and he just poured it on me, dog, for like 2 hours.
Yeah, just like how you're supposed to come and all that type stuff.
Well, not so much. He laced me with game, bro, for like 2 solid hours.
Yeah.
And we sat on that couch, you know, that gray couch, and that was the first time I met him, and I was like, damn, this motherfucker, like,
yeah, he knows,
you know, he didn't, he didn't talk down to me or anything like that. He was just like an OG, and I'll never forget that.
So
how did your relationship with him come about?
So, kind of the same, man. Like, at first, before I even started really messing with them up there, I probably went down there probably like a year before.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I wanted to do like an art show for one of my homegirls.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, I already kind of considered myself like a little business
type
of, you know, vibe anyway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? But Will even like put me, kind of even set me straight even more.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And so I just came correct, man. I came with the whole, what is it called? Like PowerPoint type of vibe and everything, like on what I was trying to do, laying it out.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the first time actually calling up there before even going up there, speaking to Will and kind of telling him, you know, what my goals are and what I want to do. And the first time I ever talked to him, he talked to me on the phone for like almost an hour, just kind of trying to figure out what it was that I wanted to do. And, you know, he was open to kind of mentor me at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I kind of started, you know, fucking with him at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when he went to L.A.
Yeah, he was doing his thing.
So he
couldn't be there all the time.
So he couldn't be there all the time, pretty much. So, I mean, we kind of just worked out a deal where I was able to throw those shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I chose more to be there on the day-to-day just to help out, you know what I'm saying? And, we kind of just got that partnership in and just started doing the shows over there from then.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I was just thinking about you. I thought you left.
No,
I was
trying to.
Those shows at Institution, man, those were dope as fuck. And you guys were able to pull some shit off that, to me was risky.
Yes, man,
you know,
love it, dog. Yes.
But I mean, Gunner was dope.
Yes, that was an epic one.
That shit was. That shit was bad.
Nah, I never forget that, bro. I was so nervous that day.
Yeah.
Especially with that whole Lil Uzi Vert thing.
Yeah.
I think Gunna was like my next biggest artist.
You had to bounce back.
Yeah, man. I remember like waking up in that morning, like 4:30 in the morning, like taking a walk, like having anxiety. Like,
I remember because I was
bro.
Up there before.
Yes,
the show,
I remember.
And
yes,
I was like, bro, I was telling you.
You need any help? I remember,
put me
bro.
To work. Because
exactly.
I know how it was doing the Get Busy shit and doing all that. I'm like,
yo,
I need people to just do the little shit for me so I can make sure this whole thing runs smoothly.
Man.
You know, but if you're over there, if like you're the guy in charge, you can't be over there. I mean, you never want to ask somebody to do something you're not willing to do yourself.
Yeah.
But there is just some little shit. Just moving the rails. You know what I'm saying? This is how I want to. I got to go do this shit. You know, like, or you got to talk to the promoter or talk to his manager who's with him, whoever.
Facts.
You know, like, So that's why I was telling you, I was like, put me to work.
Man, I wish I would have took, looking back in hindsight, I wish I would have took more advantage of that. Because, I swear, running around that motherfucker had me stressed out, but fun at the same time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a learning experience, man.
For sure.
The end result when it's all said and done is like, that's all you, because. The anticipation is worse than when it's actually happening.
Oh, man. Because
then it's out of your control. Once this show starts, it's like,
boom, it's gone.
Yeah, you kind of can't do much else. Yeah. You know, but
I was scared to get that call from Metro again.
I was worried about. That's because it's just the location and it's outside and you know, and it's hip hop and you know. But the Gunna show went pretty smooth though.
Yeah, that was. I mean, honestly, that was definitely. I would say. My favorite show for sure. You know what I'm saying? Before that, I think the first one I did up there was Buddy.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people weren't hip to Buddy. So I think like maybe 30 some people showed up, just close friends and family.
I waited. I was the last motherfucker that left because I had to get a picture with Buddy.
Man,
bro.
Yep.
Buddy is funky. To this day, he's funky, bro.
Bro, man, right?
Bro, I can listen to Buddy on repeat, man.
Yeah, nah, he's nice, bro. He's definitely one of my favorite artists. So, I mean, I think that's what I just did off of instinct, like some of my favorite artists.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You did Dizzy up there too.
Yep, I did Dizzy up.
Yeah,
that was one of my favorite too, man, just to do something,
yeah.
You know, for the city, and I interviewed him and stuff like that, and I think that was, like, as far as the total thing where I wanted to do and complete, like, I did a good job with, like,
yeah, you should have kept that going.
Yeah, I mean.
I think you need to revisit. I think you need to have a podcast. I think you need to be doing this.
Nah, man.
Why?
I don't know, bro. I don't know.
This is so easy.
I'm more of like.
We're not even thinking right now.
Yeah, I hear you, man, because I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But I'm really just more of a just behind the scenes type of dude, man. I lead from the back.
I am too.
You know what I'm saying?
I am too.
Yeah, yeah.
But I know. That's why I'm doing this.
Yeah,
it's for people like us to talk, have the conversations that we have, you know?
Yeah.
But
I think later on, I think I might, you know.
You should do it, bro. You should have a podcast, bro.
Yeah.
It's just easy.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not having, like, anybody I'm not really not comfortable with.
Yeah.
Or anybody I'm not going to DM, like.
Super reach and shit like that.
Not even super reach, just even somebody that I never even met before.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to sit down and talk to you for 2 hours. I've never even met before.
Exactly,
know?
Yeah.
But, like, you know, I mean, who knows where this will go, but.
Yeah.
You know, it's just something that I thought I could do, and I thought I have great conversations with people behind closed doors.
Yeah, facts.
So I kind of want to bring that to light, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's nobody else in the room right now. It feels natural. It's cool. But I think somebody like you should definitely.
I thought about it. I had like, man, I had some mics and everything, but
the shit at Institution.
Yeah. But I really wanna. I think I might do some. I might do it later. You know what I mean?
Okay.
It's like some things I really want to tackle right now. Mm-hmm. And though it is easy, you're right. You know what I mean? But I want more game. Like I think. You know, I did my little stuff over at Institution or whatever, but I think all around you probably got like more knowledge and you know as far as. You know, just game with certain stuff. I think I just want to learn more and grow more. That way, when I get on there, I can, like, really, you know what I'm saying?
I feel that, yeah. Mm-hmm. So what's been the biggest thing you took away from that experience at Institution? Because I would have fucking loved to have your job there.
Yeah.
I would have loved to do that shit.
Man, the biggest thing I took away, man, I would have to say is, bro, you know, ownership, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I would love to say that. I wanted to take something. I took something good from it, but really, it was a lesson out of it because, you know, looking out for the homies and stuff. I don't regret it. It was cool as far as like being there on the day to day and stuff like that. And to this day, it's love.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, man, like just like you know, Brandon was saying, like sometimes you know, you give a little juice and it's like you know what I mean.
Yeah,
you kind of want parts of that. You know what I'm saying? Like as far as the shows, I got all parts of that, and they was fair. Everything we agreed with. They was fair as far as that goes, but I think I should have took initiative of just like, just straight up like you know wanting to be a partner and I could just keep it going.
Oh, okay, yeah,
you know
I feel
what
you.
I'm saying.
I feel
and
you.
I was a partner in a sense as far as events go, but I mean just as far as
the whole thing,
you know what I mean?
No, I feel you.
So
that was a cool time for the city too because a lot of shit was going on. Jam Nation was
popping
and
shout out Zach.
Yeah, shout out Zach, man. I talked about this with Brandon too, man. They had so much momentum going, and they had so much raw energy, man. And I don't know what happened,
man, bro. Yeah, you know? Shout out to Zach, man. Zach, man, you definitely I think he definitely led the way. Definitely at a point. You know what I'm saying? When I even before when I was doing a little Uzi,
for the underground Vegas,
Zach was doing his thing, and he was young like us.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. So
yeah, I don't know what happened. Maybe one day I can get him in here. We could chop it up. Yeah. I know Zach. I'm sure he's doing his thing. Yeah, we've spoken a couple times. I don't know. I just want to know why that shit stopped because there was no competition.
Yeah, and I think he could have got a corporate check.
You guys were the only competitor, but it didn't even feel like y'all were competing, really.
No, not at all. I mean, me and Zach, we wanted to work together a few times. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I put up to a lot of his events and supported him and vice versa.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I think it was just more of a Vegas thing where they would try to like kind of, you know, it's always a competition type of thing.
Well, it could be a friendly competition.
Friendly competition for sure. Yeah, I wanted his neck.
Yeah. He did that Jam Fest right across the street.
Exactly. Yeah. So I was like, man, I got to do something harder than that.
I had one of my first events there too in that courtyard thing in that blue building.
I
didn't
put up to it.
Yeah, that was a cool time. Now everything kind of feel like it's cooled out. I mean, what's the institution doing now? I mean, who's running the shit over there now?
So Larry's over there. I mean, D is the owner of it.
Okay.
You know, as well. D and Will are owners of it. And Larry is over. He's working over there. And I think during this pandemic, it kind of just chilled out. But I think they're more focused on the clothes and not so much the events. Yeah, they got Nike up there and stuff. So shout out to them.
Will's the guy, dude. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Hopefully one day I can get him in here. You know what I mean? Maybe one day.
We'll Will's like a, he's definitely like a, you know, somebody. An OG, somebody I look up to. Mm-hmm. We done all like, man, me, D, and Will, like, we're like kind of like brothers. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I don't always agree with them. Mm-hmm. And we get into it a lot. They, you know, they get into it with me and they try to, you know what I mean? At the end of the day, you know, Will, he came a long way for sure. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, shout out to him.
Yeah, he went to Mojave.
He went to Mojave?
You know what?
I never knew that.
Because, you know.
I don't think niggas brag on Mojave. That's what it is.
When I'm talking, no, they don't. When I'm talking to anybody, you know, you try to find something in common or whatever. So, I found out he grew up here. And I was like, Mojave? Right down the street. Like, you know. So
where you go?
I went to Legacy.
Okay,
but my brother went to Mojave, so I was at Mojave all the time. I would play.
Legacy was straight; it's better than Mojave.
Legacy was popping. Legacy was too popping.
I'm sure your years it was popping too.
Don't try to make me sound like an old head.
What?
Hold on, I gotta reset this shit.
Oh, you good? But I'm just saying, bro. Shit used to be active. Shit used to be really activated. They said at Palo, niggas used to niggas from the West Side used to go to Palo. Yeah, there's gonna be shootouts and all type of crazy stuff. Yeah. Go ahead, do your thing.
We're talking about Legacy. I graduated in 2010. Legacy was.
That's 3 years, dude.
Okay, so look, my first year at Legacy was 2006. That was the first year the school opened.
Okay.
So the first year of school opened, it was they changed the zones. So it was the it was a combination of Canyon Springs, Mojave kids, Cheyenne kids. And a little bit of El Dorado kids, all converging, onto Legacy.
So they was beefing.
It was active for sure. It was a lot of fights.
Yep.
It was I think our first football game got shot up.
Yep.
It was back in the day, man. Vegas the first couple years.
Back in the day, you know, these youngsters probably don't know. I feel old myself, but then you know, it used to be active. Like the gang violence and stuff used to be a real deal.
It was a lot less social media shit going on. It was a lot more. You know, whatever.
Real life.
Yeah, real life. But it was those high school. I love going to Legacy, man. Yeah. I had hella fun.
I went to Arborview. I went to Palo, then Arborview.
Okay,
so
you know, you know. Mm-hmm. I know we go to Arborview. You went to Arborview?
My last 2 years, I went for basketball.
Okay.
Hoop star.
Okay. That's funny because I remember like a couple years ago, I was seeing all these kids from Arborview. And Shadow Ridge and Centennial, about they're from Northtown.
Oh, come on.
Oh,
bro.
My God, dude. I was like, cut it out.
I'll say definitely. I mean, because the North, man, it was active kind of over on, because I went to Palo, I went to Arborview, but, you know, all my homies went to, like, Centennial and Cimarron. So kind of around that, like, you know, Cheyenne, West Cheyenne or area, I mean, it's not the North, but it was definitely active. You know what I mean?
I went to Legacy. I grew up right down the street from Findlay Middle School.
Okay.
And it was that's barely the north. You know, the north is like
Finley's. I get what you're saying.
The north is CSN campus, Cheyenne over there.
Facts. When the signs turn blue, you're in the north.
Yeah, like Losi. But even where I was like reaching. You say you're from Northtown. I mean, yeah, we say we're from the north. You know, but Northtown. Like, I didn't grow up in the hood. A lot of my friends didn't grow up in the hood.
Summerlin.
But there was a lot of there was a weird area because there was a lot of shit going on. Like, you know, all my friends.
You could be broke and not be in the hood.
Well, all my friends had guns. You know,
exactly.
But you know, but it was it wasn't. It was just a weird suburb, but it was not, you know, and then, but I just remember seeing kids come from Shadow Ridge talking about Northtown.
Shadow Ridge, bro. I'll beat anybody up that much at Shadow Ridge.
Cut it out.
That's on record.
Cut it out.
That's on record, bro.
Nah, but who gives a fuck anyway?
That shit's out there.
But, so let's talk. So you've kind of seen how Vegas has grown the music scene. What's your take on it? Like, what do you who's your favorite artist? Who you like listening to from out here?
J Word. But he's not from out here. He's from Atlanta though. You know
from Atlanta.
He's from Atlanta.
Cut it.
Okay. But that nigga's nice though. But anyways though, as far as Vegas rappers, bro, I really fuck with I fuck with Mikey. I fuck with Kiari. I fuck with Impact. I fuck with Mac.
Mac Neasy.
Yep.
I fuck with him.
It's a few guys, bro. I you know, they make good music for sure. Where it's headed, you know, who's to say, bro? I know we don't have those record labels here. We don't have Universal, Sony, and that here. So it's kind of tough in Vegas, but there's definitely talent. You know what I mean? I think if these guys were in, you know, maybe different cities, they'll definitely be, you know, straight.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
There definitely needs to be, I mean, I don't know. I think they can do it. You just got to do numbers.
You know,
nobody's really doing numbers.
Asiah too. I fuck with him.
Asiah Shiv, I mean, I said it on the last episode with Brandon, but Rap.
Rap for sure.
Toxic.
Tox. My nigga Ty,
And Fats are my.
Nice.
But that just goes like lyrically, like talented and just seasoned, you know, like they're just seasoned. They know what they're doing. They know how to, you know, formulate a song and all that. But there's a lot of talent out here. Zodiac, I mean, D-Cross, a lot of people are having success. D-Cross has a lot of success.
D-Cross,
He's been around for a minute. You know, he's been around since I kind of grew up on D-Cross, bro.
Really? Wow.
To them Team Gutter days and all that shit, you know.
I don't know about Team Gutter?
Yeah. Oh, my God. I'll show you some old school Vegas. Like, they were a little bit older than us.
But I've been seeing them around knowing forever, though. It's crazy, man.
I'll show you some old school Las Vegas battles, especially Northtown battles. Little SU. Todd's brother and it's come a long way, but what was my question?
Just, you know, where it's going. How do I see it? Shout out to the Audibles.
Are they from out here?
They are, I believe.
You can't just fuck with them though.
Jimmy and D. They're Grammy nominated.
Yeah, they're throwing another level.
But they, you know, honestly, it's just like a lot of guys are on there. Like, I remember playing like rap in front of them and stuff like that, and they didn't know. You know, they've been living in Las Vegas forever. They're like, who is this?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So,
I would like to talk to them too about. They stayed here. They've had stupid success.
No, they got love, and they got love for Vegas. They live in Las Vegas. You know, they travel and stuff a lot, but they definitely got love. It's just a lot of stuff don't even reach their ear.
Right.
They're dealing with, like, Justin Bieber and shit.
I wonder if they're ever going to take, like, an artist and groom him.
Well, Jazz, you know, they fuck with Jazz a lot.
Jazz been around for a minute, though, you know?
I know he's
writing.
I mean,
I don't know, dude. You know Jazz. So he's writing and shit, right?
Yeah, he's writing. Yeah, he's an artist too, though. I think I think he's pretty much getting ready for some type of big rollout because he's pretty connected.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
No, he's been connected for a minute. He got a song with
Meek Mill. Yeah, he got a song with Future.
Yeah.
It's like, damn. But it's like, you know.
But that tells you how hard being a rapper is.
Well, you know, honestly, the business, you know what I'm saying? Like, you got the business got to be right.
Do you think what's been holding him back?
I think just, you know, situations, man. I think it's just more situational thing. I think
behind the scenes shit.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, besides that, he's, you know, man, he's like damn near a prodigy writer for real. You know, a lot of people in the industry really fuck with his writing, and he's talented for sure. Yeah, so I don't think it has to do anything with talent.
Maybe that's his lane. I don't think everybody really should be in front of the camera.
Listen, bro.
But I know a lot of, but that when that fame factor is there, and you have the opportunity to be famous, that goes to people's heads. And I'm not saying jazz in particular, but I'm just saying like some people aren't, they need that fame, you know, for verification. They don't, you know, that writing credit isn't enough for them.
But it's not even that. It's the fact that, man, he honestly, bro, he got it for sure. Yeah. Like, honestly, more than probably anybody I know.
He understands what it takes.
Yeah. You know what I mean? The work ethic and everything, the music is like, man, I got some unreleased.
Why is he not doing, but that's the thing. Is
I got some unreleased jazz, man. Yeah. You'll be like,
why,
bro,
why is somebody
everywhere.
Like him not hitting the road and selling tickets and opening up for somebody or doing his own shows? Because that's what a lot of artists, they just trying to get popping on the internet.
Well,
and
he's
I
not,
think
he's
you
not,
shoot yourself in the foot.
He hasn't been on an independent tip. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, he's so been, like, not, on some, like, sign type, like, low-key shit.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't know his full situation at all. You know what I'm saying? But I think that has to probably do a part with it.
Because
I'm telling you, he got some, you know, he got some stuff that would put Vegas, like, you know, like, right there.
Is he from Vegas? Born and raised?
Yeah, born, I don't know. But raised, for sure. I'm pretty sure he's born here. But he got some, like, you know, and he loved the city, for sure.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, he's still out here.
Yeah, he's out here. Yeah,
he don't have to be.
Nah, he doesn't have to be, bro. Yeah. He does not have to be at all.
Yeah, maybe he's the one.
I mean, yeah, I think it's situational. If his situation is A1, he'll be out of here, like, bro, like literally, like that.
Yeah, because we got a few like real representatives that've been putting Vegas on. D Cross.
Yeah.
You know, he's traveled out and put on. You know, he doesn't shy away from telling people where he's from.
I'm
Dizzy.
Saying,
Dizzy for sure. Dizzy's like really the first one.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Well, yeah. I can't say that because Fats has been on 106 in Park since.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And,
yeah.
And Landlord, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, but Dizzy's really the one that really took it to the next level.
Yeah,
took,
for sure.
You know, and he's the first one that really, because he still has a career and people.
Period.
People,
yeah.
People don't give Dizzy enough credit.
Yeah, bro, not at all. No, Dizzy is not, definitely.
Why is that?
Yeah, that's weird. That's a great question, bro. Honestly, I don't know.
I remember listening to Smoke Out Conversations.
It's too positive for people.
I know, but.
It's crazy to say that. It's crazy.
Like, but he has a fan base here, for sure.
He does. No,
I've been
sure.
to every Dizzy show that in Vegas that he's ever done. I've been to every single show.
Really?
I'm a Dizzy fan.
Yeah,
from
okay.
Smoke Out Conversations, and I'm not just saying it.
Yeah.
You can ask around.
Yeah.
You know,
honestly,
you can,
bro, Dizzy, I think, you know, he has an independent situation. So as far as being independent, he's winning 100%.
He has a career.
Exactly.
He hasn't charted.
I mean,
he gets paid.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
I mean?
He's an independent. You know what I mean? If I sell, you know, 30,000 independent records, like, or, you know what I mean? I'm straight.
Yeah, that's
you don't have to be, you don't got to be, nigga, top 10, anything.
But you know why, though? Because he sells tickets.
Yeah, for sure. He hits a row all
day. That's the thing. That's what I tell artists that I talk to and the artists. And when I was in my management situation, I told them all the time, like, because they were real focused on internet. And getting those views and all that.
Yeah.
You should, absolutely. It's part
man,
of the game, doing
bro,
numbers. But
I'm so tired of this internet shit, bro.
I know. My thing is my as a fan, my listening to you in my car, that's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But buying a ticket,
yeah,
that's when I really fuck with you.
Yeah.
You know? And that's I'm going to go out of my way and really spend
a
good amount of money on a ticket.
Set aside plans
because I want, because I can fuck with you that hard.
Exactly.
And you're only going to do that by touching people, connecting people, and hitting that road.
Yeah.
And that's what, and even if you got to do boof-ass shows in fucking bumfuck Arizona, then you got to do those shows, you know?
Yeah.
But that's Dizzy showed you, like, yo, he goes to fucking, you know, small-ass towns.
He'll go to Reno.
Sell out 500, you know, sell them out.
Exactly.
500 capacity in, what, $20 a ticket?
That's his.
Do the math.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's money.
Exactly.
You know, so, but everybody wants
and
to be.
And 50 cities or something like crazy.
Artists just want to be, just get internet popping, and they think that's, you know, once they get internet popping, like, but we see it's
so many different ways, though.
Here today, gone tomorrow, you know?
It's different ways, though, man, because
yeah,
I've been seeing, like, you know, there's a route, you know, you get plugged in with the DJs, there's that route.
Producers, you know?
Yeah, everything, you know what I'm saying? So,
what do you think about Teddy?
Teddy's nice, yeah.
I fuck with Teddy. I think he's so talented.
Yeah,
bro.
Nah, he's one.
He ain't from out here, but, you know, I used to manage him, and.
Yeah.
And he was a
humble dude, super talented.
He's super talented.
I think it's all about positions, man.
Yeah.
You got to jump. Man, sometimes you got to take a leap to get in certain positions.
Mm-hmm. No,
you know what
bro.
I mean? And might just have to take a leap.
I think he would do better writing.
Doing better writing?
I think he would just be better off if he locked in on writing for other people.
Yeah, but where? Not out here. You know what I'm saying? You got
to
take
a
leap.
I tell people all the time,
bro,
go to LA.
I'm telling y'all, man.
Right down the street.
Certain industries, man, you got to take a leap. Yeah. You know, you could sit and chill in Vegas and wait till it comes. For sure, it's going to come.
Yeah.
But if you got that go-getter and you feel like, you know, you waiting for that, you can't wait for it, man. You got to. People are out there getting it right now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, there's a lot of people in that's out of Vegas that have had success, for sure.
And people would be so stuck on this Vegas thing, bro. A lot of those, man, a lot of these stars and stuff, they leave their cities and go to these other places.
Yeah, they say all the time that your hometown's the hardest one to please.
Man, exactly. They go to, you know, they go to LA, they'll go to Atlanta, they go to New York. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, they could put their city on. But, you know, you're struggling
But even that, I'm just like, why would you go where it's like fishing in a, metaphor?
Listen,
you know what I mean? You go to where it's concentrated. Everybody should go to the small town, hit the small town, take over those little markets.
Nah, listen, understand this. This is what I'm learning.
I guess it depends on what kind of artist you are, but.
No, this is what I'm learning, bro. If you're a chemical engineer, you're in the oil industry, you're going to move to Alaska.
Okay.
There's a lot of people in Alaska, it's probably, you know, that are in the same field, but if you want a job, you know what I mean, you're not going to stay in motherfucking Las Vegas to be a chemical engineer.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's just like that, bro, with any job.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? If you're in the film industry, you got to go to where there's film jobs. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you're going to live in Las Vegas where there's five film creative directing jobs.
Yeah.
Rather, you go to LA, it's probably 1,000 of them.
Yeah.
And there's, or, you know, music-wise, there's small labels, mid-labels, big labels, partnership, there's funding, there's, you know what I mean? So it's kind of, it's really simple, bro.
Yeah, I feel you. You know, I don't know, man. It's just it's a lot of moving parts to the music thing, you know? Do you see yourself going down that road? Because I know we talked about the movies and the writing and, you know, we're on the same page with that. But do you see yourself pursuing music?
Yeah, I think I see myself wearing different hats, bro. I think I just want
to be a rapper?
Nah, I mean, nigga, you doing freestyles today? Nigga.
Ease Universe right here, bro.
Huh?
It's Ease Universe, bro.
Listen, bro, I hope you got insurance, nigga, because I'm going to spit fire, nigga.
Oh, shit.
The whole building going down, nigga.
I'll burn it down.
But, bro, I see myself doing a lot of things, just being, like I said, a leader from the back, you know, an influencer. And I want to touch the music industry, the film industry, and I am going to, not even want to. That's what I'm on. That's what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm doing. And that's what I'm working towards every day. You know what I'm saying?
I feel you, bro.
And, you know, I think, you know, it ain't nothing to do.
But do you see yourself doing a management thing?
Management?
Do you enjoy being a manager?
Do I enjoy it? You know, it's been pretty smooth, bro. Like, when I got my own stuff going on, and that's why I made it, you know, as far as to J-Word, I had to let them know, like, I got to get my stuff in order. Because it's a lot easier when I got a lot of stuff on my plate and I got a lot going on.
Yeah.
Because then it's easy to plug in.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, when I'm kind of reaching for resources, you know, it's not fun.
Yeah, it's
you fun. Know yeah, what I'm but, saying? Yeah. Especially because, you know, it's just not fun.
Yeah, I think you would be a lot better at it than I would, because I'm hard to get along with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it taught me how serious I am. Like, when I was managing them, my guys, it taught me. It showed. I didn't realize I'm so serious.
Yeah.
I'm like a fucking.
Nah,
I'm a drill sergeant.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And I'm like, yo, if you 5 minutes late to the studio, we got issues, bro.
Yeah,
bro. If you ain't write a song today.
Bro,
what the fuck you mean you're a rapper? What do you mean you didn't write a song today?
There's nothing wrong with having that mindset,
But that shit don't work. You know, a lot of people don't, especially rappers, like, you know, because I guess I saw myself as a coach.
Listen.
You know, but there's uncoachable players.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. You were playing your part 100%. Mm-hmm. If they were to take theirself as serious as that, serious as you took yourself,
maybe
it's not a maybe, bro.
I was an asshole.
Listen, bro, I'm telling you,
I'm an asshole.
It's not a maybe.
I just wanted to win so bad,
bro. Rather you're a rapper, manager, producer, whatever. It's as much as you take your serious yourself.
Yeah.
You know
what
I'm saying?
Well, I put all my eggs in that basket. I thought for sure. I was like, man. We about to blow. About to blow up. There was no convincing me otherwise.
Yeah.
So I kind of put myself in a fucked up situation, because I didn't have a job.
Mm.
I didn't do nothing. That was my whole life.
Yeah.
And for like 3 years,
hmm.
and I was shit making ends meet, doing what I had to do. But it was like. I didn't feel like, looking back on it now, I was like, man, I shouldn't have put all my eggs in that basket.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean,
that's
like,
in life. That's in general,
yeah,
for sure.
It was just, I was like going too hard.
That's why I see myself doing, you know, 10 different things.
Yeah,
you know
but I also learned, like, You know, you do gotta, when you do hone in on, because I'm the same way. I like to multitask. I like, you know, I'm interested in different things and all that. But when I hone in on one thing, you know, I could do some damage.
Facts. You gotta be able to make time for it. Yeah. You know what I'm saying, and not just halfway do it. That's what I've been learning, man. Like, I've been taking so much time to learn. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. I always want to play the game, which is cool. But, you know, you don't always got to, you know, step in and play the game. Sometimes it's good to sit back and learn. Mm-hmm. Rather, you got to stack up or whatever. So,
You got to reset sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. So, I mean, bro, I've been just trying to learn everything that I want to do. That's all I've been doing is learning. And you know what I'm saying? And that's it, man.
Yeah.
That's
well, you're still young. I remember when
I was 24. Oh, my gosh. Here's this nigga with this young shit. Oh, my gosh. Listen,
bro,
I know you know. You see all these stories, man.
I didn't know you was that young, man.
Huh?
I didn't know you were that young.
There's people starting business at 70 years old right now.
No, I know. I'm not. I'm just saying, like, you know, I hear 24 years old, and I'm like, man, 24 years old. I remember what I was doing in my mindset, and I could – you want to go back and give yourself advice, because I didn't have nobody to give me no advice nothing.
Yeah, it's hard.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But all I would go back and tell myself is to make your next move your best move and be smart and take care of yourself.
Strategic.
You know what I'm saying? Take care of yourself.
Yeah.
And don't be naive to –
period.
To like – don't, because I was like, man, we're going to blow.
Yeah.
We're going to blow in a year or two. We're going to blow. You know? And it was
– I hear you.
And it was – that was naive to think.
I think – being young, definitely, bro. I mean – I have an older brother. I'm definitely one that watches the people around me and try to understand. Yeah. So I think definitely a big thing of mine, instead of sitting back and learning sometimes, a part of being younger is like, bro, you're so eager.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And I think that
eyes wide and
Bro, ready to go. Yeah. You know, and I think that has been like my
puppy.
Bro. When you're young, when you're ambitious, sometimes you gotta hit yourself on the head.
Yeah.
And I think that's been like my biggest lesson, and that's why I've been able to chill and sit back and just really learn and you know, come strategically instead of just going out there and just doing what it do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, I've been ambitious my whole life. You know, I started selling weed when I was 8th grade.
Allegedly.
And we weren't poor. I was hustling my mom was hustling my mom for the lunch money. You know what I mean? She'd give me money. I would hold it.
Yeah, exactly.
And get lunch money, so get the lunch somehow, some other way. You know?
No,
so,
I feel
it. But when I was like 18, and then when I was 19, I came back from college. I did 1 year in Cleveland. And then I came back and I was like, all right, I got to get to this money. I was like, I'm going to be a millionaire when I'm 25.
Yeah,
by the time I'm 25, I'm going to be a millionaire.
I knew that for a fact.
So when I hit 25 years old and I was busted and and I was damn near homeless.
Facts.
I kind of got depressed.
You had to change it up. Yeah.
I kind of got depressed, but it was a life lesson. Like, I think everybody needs to be broke at some point in their life.
People say depressed, man. I think people get depressed confused with disappointed.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, I was very disappointed in myself, but I think I was delusional. And
think so?
Oh, yeah. I think a lot of people are delusional, especially rappers.
But, shit, bro.
It's not always a bad thing.
It takes that delusion.
You know, it's just your imagination running wild. But the reality wasn't lining up with who I thought I was or who I thought I was going to be at by that age. But I realized, like, everything – you can't put your timeline on shit sometimes. You know, you can't say, in 5 years this is going to happen, this is what I'm going to do. Because it could happen in 2 years.
Exactly.
You know?
For sure.
Or it can happen in 10 years. I mean, it's good to set goals and give yourself timelines, for sure. Yeah. But, you know.
One thing I know I want to do is, like, you know, be in the film as far as, like, TV series and movies. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it takes 10, 20 years.
Yeah, what attracts you to that?
Honestly, even when I was over at fucking with Institution, you know, I started writing short stories and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it was something I really wanted to get into, something I was going to really invest in.
Yeah.
But I was investing in shows and losing money in that.
Yeah.
So it's something that, bro, I mean.
Because you thought shows was a flip?
Yeah, and that was it. You know, that was a big part of it.
Yeah.
I tried to turn my interest into, like, you know, money.
Of course, you got to, though.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's not – when you're talking about – doing creative shit, like throwing shows or working with creative people.
Yeah.
You got to make money.
Yeah, exactly.
Or it's not going to continue.
Bro, man, can you repeat it again?
You have to make money. You know, like, everybody has to get paid or it's not going to continue.
Yeah, man. One thing in Las Vegas, I would say for sure, and, you know, you ask about, like, where do I see Las Vegas and where do I see it going? I think in Las Vegas, man, a lot of people are doing things to be cool, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying, instead mm-hmm. of really trying to make a living and, you know, pursue mm-hmm. what they want to do. They want to be seen. They want to be cool. Mm-hmm. And so I think, I think that just plays a big part, man. Yeah, you got to make money, bro. But, you know, in other industries and other places in the world or the same industries or whatever, they're making money doing this mm-hmm. stuff. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So you just got to figure it out. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And if you're not making money, you got to be making money some other way because it takes money. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever you want to do, you can buy yourself into any industry, not just music, mm-hmm. not just film, not mm-hmm. just this and that. You could really buy yourself into any industry. So if you get your paper right, that should be the number one thing.
Yeah, 100%. You know what I'm saying? So what's the story that you wrote?
Right now I'm writing.
What are you working on? Right
now? So it's a series, Black Ginger. It's like loosely based on my life, pretty much, you know. And I got bro, it's hilarious, my nigga. It's a comedy.
I love this,
bro. I love it so much, man. It's a comedy.
I love the title.
So it's a
comedy.
Yeah, it's straight comedy, bro.
Yeah. So you told me you came over to my house the other day and you mm-hmm. said you did stand up.
Yeah, I tried stand up a couple times.
Give me a joke, man.
What?
You
gotta
give me a joke.
Nah, man. All right. Nah, later on in the podcast, later on, I got you. Right. I'll end it off how I lost my virginity.
Okay.
That's a pretty funny story, bro.
I wrote us because I was living with Rob. You know Rob Falco?
Yeah, I know Rob.
So I was living with him. Me and him were roommates for like over a year. Mm-hmm. And he was getting into the stand-up thing.
Rob's hilarious, dude.
Yeah, he's funny. No, he's funny. He's funny when you talk to him. Yeah. But, you know, he did a stand-up for me. And I'm not hating on him.
He got that white boy humor.
Yeah, but he's really smart. Yeah. And he was using big words.
He is, bro.
He was using big words. And I was like, Rob, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Yeah.
But I started, I wrote a stand-up thing, and it was just talking about transgender people. But so we're not gonna get into that because I don't want the backlash.
Damn! Oh shit! Yeah, I ain't listening.
I got jokes, man.
I've
been clowned for my race my whole life.
Exactly. I've been clowned for my hair and being goofy and ugly looking.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I know you. You got that script too. You know what I'm saying?
It's definitely.
When you write, you can go into different depths, man. So
For me, it's like creating a new reality.
Exactly.
That's dope.
It's fun,
it's
bro.
Like, it's almost escapism, you know?
Yes, bro.
Kind of like.
What I've been doing with Black Ginger is I kind of been like writing like the next chapter of my life. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's not even the present moment, mm-hmm. but it's kind of taking past moments in my life, but I'm kind of just, it's future tense. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's like, you know, it's almost like visualizing. It's so fun, man. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's a comedy.
It's a comedy, though. Yeah,
man, I wish I could write jokes, man, but I am the least funniest motherfucker.
You might be funny on paper. My sister is writing it with me, bro, and she's not a funny person, but she's funny on paper, bro. I'm super surprised. I'm like, you're not funny at all, but, bro, she'd be having me weak. If I read you some of the shit that she'd be writing, bro.
Damn.
She's more like sophisticated and everything, but she's been going wild.
Damn,
you know what I'm saying?
She's probably just been holding it in for so long.
Probably, you know what I mean? I was like, you got a hunch at this
dope.
You know what I mean? But so that's something I want to do. I want to have just a writing team.
Yeah. So then what's your next move? So you have the script, it's ready to go. You feel 100% confident. What are you gonna do with it?
I got one more script too, and mm-hmm. it's my father's story. He was a kingpin out of Chicago.
Okay.
So this isn't a comedy. It's just, you know, it's based on his life. It's mm-hmm. more of a drama and just mm-hmm. like suspense. So.
And you talk to him?
Yeah, I do.
So he's your biological father?
He's my biological father.
Did you grow up with him?
Nah, he's been incarcerated since I was 3 years old.
Oh, damn, for
so,
real?
So, yeah, he made about $100 million in coke, you know what I mean? And
And his story's out there?
Yeah, it's out there.
Oh, yeah, he just had a book, right?
Yeah, he just put his book out probably, like, I want to say a year ago.
How much time is he at?
He has a life sentence, you know what I mean? So he's a lawyer. Where he studies law, mm-hmm. and he's gotten other people with life sentences out of jail. You know what I mean?
Really?
So now he's kind of just working on his own shit.
Do you go visit him?
Last time I visited him, probably like, man.
He's not out here, right?
Yeah, he moved to the east to like West Virginia or something, yeah, probably like 3 years ago. Before that, we would see him like every couple years.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Damn. So he's out of Chicago, though?
Yeah, Chicago. Okay. So, you know, I kind of, so I got that script, and then I got Black Ginger. Mm-hmm. And, man, honestly, bro, I'm doing it. You know, I definitely got plans for it, but I'm trying to focus a lot on just doing it out of enjoyment and just mm-hmm. learning. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, but.
Does he know you're writing it?
Yeah. Me and I got 13 siblings.
Oh, damn.
You know what I'm saying? So there's about four or five of us involved mm-hmm. as far as, like, you know, helping them with the book. And then mm-hmm. it's kind of my vision to, like,
movie.
Like, to just, yeah, I'll, you know, yeah. I've been working on that. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So
has he read it, any of it?
No.
You're
no.
going to give it to him when it's done?
Yeah. I think everything I'm doing, like, I'm not going to show anybody until it's done.
So are you basing the movie off the book? Or?
Straight off the book.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm trying to, I'm doing my best.
Why don't you talk to him about it?
So
he can give you more details.
Well, you know, I mean, as far as for that project, mm-hmm. I'm kind of more getting into it recently. Mm-hmm. And with this pandemic going on, he's been on lockdown pretty much 24/7.
Yeah, my boy in prison. Yeah, we can't go see him.
Exactly. So
you gotta go see him next time it opens up.
Yeah, nah, for sure. Yeah, for sure, man. He be geeked up. Anything, yeah. You know, anything that, you know, as of recently that, you know, he heard a lot of things that I wanted to do, mm-hmm. he's geeked, because even himself, he made a movie himself, bro, that it was Bernie Mac, Lisa Ray. They were in it. It was called, I should know the name of this, bro. But anyways.
Don't say the...
I can't
even say Players Club.
No. Hell no. Actually, it was Lisa Ray's, but it was like that was her, you know, big coming out. Yeah. But it was actually even before that. And it would have been Bernie Mac's first movie too.
Oh damn.
Or close to it. It was like in the 80s, 90s.
He made it. He wrote it.
No, it actually was in production, and then, you know, it was drug money, and it all kind of happened around the same time.
Okay, I got you.
You know what I'm saying? I forgot where I was going with that. Oh yeah, and then also he had a record label as well,
really?
And he actually did have a group like pop. It was really? Called Naughty by Nature. It's not. I want to say that's the right name. It might be wrong.
Yeah, we know Naughty by Nature.
No, I don't know. It might be wrong. It might be a different name. But anyways, let me think.
He had Naughty by Nature.
No. Don't quote me on this, bro. It's one of those old girl groups, though.
No, Naughty by Nature is not a girl.
Oh, okay, then no. No.
Escape?
No. Let me look it up right now. I'm gonna look it up. Let me look it up, man.
Damn, dog.
But so like, yeah, just having kind of the same interests.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I remember the group name. It was called Nothing Nice. The only reason I remember is because Jay-Z in a song. I think you know the song The Evils.
Yeah.
So they got a song called Down for Whatever, and he has a bar in there that says like, and I'm down for whatever, nothing nice. So that was my dad's group.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah. So one of my stepmoms is actually in that group because he has like five baby moms or whatever.
Damn.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So he lived that life.
Yeah. He lived that life for sure.
So how old is he now?
He's 53.
Oh, he's still young.
Yeah, man. He got some life to live, and the dude's like a genius for real. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Damn, I don't know why this conversation just reminded me, but we never mm-hmm. nobody talks about 702, the group.
702.
The group, the R&B group from Las Vegas. They got hits, bro.
I'm not hip.
They got hits.
Really?
Bro, look them up, dog. They got hits.
Really?
Bro, they're
name
like
a song.
Bro, they're I don't know the name of songs, but off the top of my head, but I know they got some, like, they're like 90s,
what time period was 90s,
this? Early on R&B. But
it's a lot of stuff
their
in the 90s.
Their name is 702.
Bro, that's crazy, number one. But there's a lot of stuff in the 90s you're going to talk about. Nigga, you know, we were hard at bat. I know. I'm saying as far as, like, now people try to throw that whole, you know, like y'all were saying before, like, no culture in Vegas.
Yeah.
There's so much shit, bro, that, mm-hmm. you know, honestly, like, you
it
know.
It is. There's a lot of shit going on. But, you know, a lot of people say that shit. You hear that shit. You've heard it. I mean, you know, over the past few years.
100%.
Culture in Vegas and this and that, but mm-hmm. but it's we're just so young. We're, you know,
shout out 702.
Yeah, New York and L.A. and these markets, they were melting pots. They were like made for some artistic, like hip hop and all this shit to come out, you know?
Exactly.
We were not.
Definitely
we're in
not.
The middle of the desert. We're a railroad town.
Yeah.
And then we were a mob town.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's
an old fashioned town.
You know,
man.
It's not. It's old fashioned. We're just now starting to you know, it's up to us to build it.
We trying to sneak up in
it's
there.
It's up to us to build it. And that's what I was saying. We need more people like Tenez that can open the doors
and give us the
green light.
Nah, he definitely
give us the space. We need that's the important thing. You need the space.
Yeah, for sure.
But, you know, in due time, you know, we'll become you know, a powerhouse, but a lot of people, you know, it's so weird because...
Well, just a lot of those labels and stuff, man, they got to move here, and they will soon. They will eventually, probably 5-10 years.
Yeah, but I mean, Nevada is one of the best states to run your business out of. Tax benefits.
Yeah, taxes.
And so maybe, yeah, I think a lot. But a lot of people do live out here. You know, a lot of artists have homes out here.
Oh, yeah,
know?
For
and,
sure. Yeah.
And a lot of reasons. A lot of artists come out here, you know. Well, obviously with Dre's and all, you know, the clubs and stuff. But
yeah, that's different, you know, though. That's almost different. Like, you know what I mean?
I don't know, man.
That's, if you know, you working in those industries at those clubs, it's damn near just nepotism. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. they not letting
damn,
certain people
word,
in.
That's a good word, man.
Yeah.
You have the origin of that word?
Nepotism, yeah. Neptune, I don't know.
Damn, that's an awesome word. What's that word mean? I don't even know.
Nepotism? Yeah. Oh, it's kind of like, you know, you
I feel like I should know
if
what it means, but
if I'm a CEO, if let's say I'm Dre's, I'm Victor mm-hmm. Dre's, mm-hmm. my son, I'm going to hire my son to be the fucking VP or president, you know what I'm saying? Or I'm going to hire my nephew my nephew's going to be the artist fucking, you know, manager or whatever.
Okay, yeah,
you know
that, I mean? That I would do the same shit.
Yeah, I mean,
if I own a club, I'm grooming my nephew.
Yeah, but that's also that's also one of the big problems going on, because you're not giving the opportunities to a lot of people that might be better at something.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I would do the same thing too. 100%. I'll do the same thing too.
I used to work at Dre's. I worked at Dre's, and His son was he was the one calling the shots for sure. He was
really?
The one orchestrating.
When you were over there?
Yeah, when I was over there. Yeah. He was orchestrating everything.
Really?
He was, I think he
was
more involved because he's young. Girl.
Yeah, he's young. He's probably a year younger than me or something.
I think he's a year older than you.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, I think he's like 25, 26.
Now. Okay.
But
because I remember I worked there when I was fresh 21, mm-hmm. and he was like, in the club, but everybody knew he was kind of like underage, not supposed to be.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just that shit. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, yeah, he's definitely groomed and stuff like that. I'm just saying, like, but then it'll go from there where he'll hire his little cousin to do this and that.
He's still getting groomed, though.
Yeah.
Because I remember he would be there daily, and he would be calling the shots. And he was, you know, I got really good vibes from him because, you know, a young kid, like, you know, it probably might be a little difficult for him to get his respect, you know, as a leader or whatever. But
I ain't buying that.
I fucked with him though. I thought he was. I was like, damn, you're doing a good job for being a young kid.
Yeah.
You know, like you're really being a sponge. But it was when Victor Dre's would come through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it would be like, yeah, okay, everybody tighten up.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, it'd be a little bit different. But
yeah.
But you know, that comes with due time. But yeah. I'm a nepotist then, because you know, I'm trying to, you gotta build a legacy for your family, you know.
100%, you know what I'm saying? I feel it, but I just feel like, you know, because I remember even before I was 20, I might have been like, you know, 19, probably even younger than that. I remember reaching out trying to intern, or not intern, or just trying. I was reaching out for mentors, and he was one of the people I reached out to, and he got back to me and everything, and it didn't work out or nothing, but I feel like it's just a lot of missed opportunities like that, where it's like somebody like me, where it's young, I want to learn, I want to be around it.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't have the opportunity. I had to create it myself.
Yeah, you gotta.
You
gotta fucking just run through the wall, bro. And you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Everywhere you don't gotta do that though, but I don't have no issue with it.
Yeah.
You know, you got definitely. At the end of the day, anywhere you gotta create opportunities for yourself anyway. But I just feel like, you know, in certain areas, you know, you're just around it. You could be around it. You could soak like a sponge. You know what I'm saying? So
back to the writing. Like when you have your script done, and it's ready, you feel confident. What are you gonna do? Like, what is the process for you? Do you know the process, or do you know, or do you kind of have an idea of what to do for myself? I know I can write a script, but I don't know what the fuck to do with it after that.
Well, just kind of like I was saying, like, you know, let's say, you know, if you were a chemical engineer and wanted to work in the oil industry, you're gonna move to Alaska,
right,
or you're gonna go back and forth from Alaska,
right.
You know, so. With the film, you know, I'm right now I got Atlanta in my foresight.
Right.
And so pretty
making a move out there.
Making a
Why
move
not
out
LA?
There. More expensive, and I don't want to deal with as many white people. Man, that's honest, you know.
No, man.
I mean, I don't have an issue with them. But you know, I don't want to fake the funk.
Especially the show you're making.
Exactly, And you know, sometimes, you know, I don't want to be in different rooms acting like somebody else that I'm not, and I feel like that's just more of a hassle. And I, you know what I mean? So I just want to go somewhere where I know.
There's a lot of film stuff going on in Atlanta. They film a lot of movies
in
Atlanta, actually.
Yes, 100%. 1,000%. You know, they, you know, not just to say Tyler Perry owning like the biggest studio there is, there's other black owned you know, studios as well, and other.
It's definitely a hub. It's become a hub.
Exactly. And it's growing. It's growing at a fast rate.
So are you gonna make that move?
Yeah, I am. You know, that's what I kind of been setting my personal time back for. I'm gonna you know, I'll be here sometimes, you know what I mean, a few times out the year. But
are you giving yourself a timeline, or are you just really gonna be like, yo, I'm gonna start a life out there?
Yeah, I mean, the next couple months, man. I'm gonna skate out there. Mm-hmm. I'm just right now. That's what I'm saving up for right now. Yeah, man, just to be around it, man. I got family out there. I got, you know, some friends in the, you know, film industry and stuff out there where I can get things to and stuff like that. So.
Well, that's dope, man. Wish you the best, man.
Yeah, no doubt, man. I'm going to be back.
Vegas keeps sucking me back in, man. Keeps pulling me back every time I try to leave.
Hey.
Can't get away. City wouldn't be the same without me, bro.
That's probably what it is. You know what I'm saying? But I definitely want to come back in Vegas to Vegas. You know, I always see myself moving and living somewhere for a while. Mm-hmm. And I would just bring the resources back wherever I can and give opportunity the best I can.
Just don't have any kids, bro.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm not doing. What?
That's my biggest, like,
Number one not to do right now. Exactly. No,
like, I'm just proud of it. If I had a kid right now, I'd be cool with that.
Yeah.
But up until now, I'm like glad, like,
you didn't have
any against people with kids. You know, my friends got kids, but I'm cool being an uncle.
Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. Same. I'm an uncle too. So that's enough for me, man.
I couldn't imagine.
I mean, I don't even think about kids. I don't got, you know, a wife or nothing like that. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So
you don't want the baby mamas?
Huh?
You don't want baby mamas? At one point I wanted 10 different baby mamas.
Really? Future vibes?
Not necessarily. I wanted a kid.
I know niggas on child support, bro.
I know. I don't make that kind of money. I was on some goofy shit when I was younger. Like,
yeah, exactly.
I wanted a kid from every continent. And then I wanted two wives. And I always told myself I was gonna have two wives, and I was gonna get my cars custom made to have the steering wheel in the middle, so they can both be in the front seat.
Oh, that's innovative, man, right there, man. My nigga. You could have went. See,
you know how many arguments I just dodged, right?
You could have designed a whole whip. Come on, just now, man. You tripped.
You know, polygamy, man.
Nah, for sure. I mean, honestly, there's nothing wrong with that, bro. You know, there's gay people, there's bisexual people, there's transgender people. If, you know, that's a whole other lifestyle. If you decide to have more, I don't see why people look down upon it. You know, people don't look down upon other people's rights. You know what I'm saying?
I completely. You want to have multiple women? I completely.
No, I'm just saying in America, that's something like everybody looks down to. But it's nothing wrong.
It stems from the church, brother. It stems from the Bible.
Yeah, but at the same
time, that book that nobody knows who wrote it.
Yeah,
that one, yeah.
Yeah, but there's gay people. People, you know, there's gay rights.
Totally, bro. I have gay friends. I've been to gay clubs.
Yeah.
I've been to a gay strip club.
I can't agree with that. On record,
I'll tell that story. I mean, I can tell that story. I don't care, bro. Yeah. I mean, it was just a crazy experience. I was in Montreal.
Crazy experience, huh?
I was just in Montreal. So look, no, because I was living in LA at the time, and we were working for this dude setting up exhibits. He had an art exhibit, right? So he was his first one was in Montreal. Okay, so me and my boy, and he was super gay, but he was like big time in Hollywood, big time, like a big deal.
That's the thing why not LA for me. Yeah, it's a lot of weird stuff.
A lot of gay dudes going on. Man, there's
no, bro. It's a lot of weird stuff in general.
No, I lived in Hollywood too. Yeah. And I
like Jeffrey Epstein type of weird shit.
I understand why people called it Holly Weird. I lived on Western and Sunset, I want to say.
Okay,
but
you was right there.
So I was in the.
Yeah, right in the middle.
Going to the gas station was not fun, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
You know? But, but it was very interesting. It was just like a different vibe out there, you know? But so we were in Montreal, and we did the exhibit. And afterwards, you know, it went well. We wanted to celebrate, you know?
Yeah.
And our boss was gay, and he had his boyfriend there. And so he calls me, and I'm working with my best friend, and both of us are straight, and we everybody else is that on the team is pretty much gay, you know what I mean, or women, you know. So we go back to the hotel. He calls us. He's like, "Hey, come downtown. We're celebrating. You know. I'll call you an Uber. Get you down there, whatever." So. First of all, Montreal would be fucking beautiful. It's so clean. There's murals on like the big buildings, you know, like if you go to like New York or something, like a bank building has like a big ass like mural or some shit on it. It's dope as fuck. It's super clean. But anyways, so we go downtown in downtown Montreal, and we're walking up to the club, and there's nobody around, and it's just the club, and there's people standing outside, and it's like five dudes in fireman outfits, right?
Oh God, dude!
I was like, and before that, I'll admit, you know, when I was younger, I was kind of homophobic.
Yeah, you know.
I just wasn't exposed.
Exactly. Immaturity.
Yeah, I didn't have it. Yeah. I never was around gay people. You know, we grew up saying, "faggot."
That was me that said that, but
it was never referred to anybody being gay or anything like that. But
exactly. Yeah.
What was I saying? But I was like, man, I'm not going in here. Yeah. I'm not going up in here. Yeah. You know, and so he was like, bro, you can't be homophobic. Like, where we were, this is he like he's
your
paying
boss.
Us. Yeah,
your
he's paying us.
Yeah.
It's disrespectful. Yeah, you know. Yeah. And,
I don't think there's an issue with that. I would go to one. I got gay friends and stuff. Like,
I know.
I've
been to gay clubs before with friends and stuff. And that's actually like, there's hella women in gay clubs.
Yeah, exactly. They go with.
So that's not, it didn't even feel like a gay club. It just felt like a regular club. And dudes were just a little bit more fabulous.
Hey, man. Gay friends are fun. You know what I'm saying? Pause. They know how to party for real. You know what I'm saying?
So we walk in, man, and there's just dicks everywhere. There's not even a woman in there.
Oh, never
mind.
There's
no women. There's no women bartenders. There's no women waitresses.
Oh, damn, okay.
No women, nothing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And then they start dancing, and it's just like, it got real, real intense.
Oh, damn.
It got, it's hard to have a good time.
Getting later on in the night, and then everybody's drinking more, and everybody going crazy.
Yeah, it was just hard to have a good time, you know? So I was just having a conversation with our boss's boyfriend. We were just casual conversation, and our boss was talking to my boy. So we're the only straight dudes in here. There we go. Now we're the only straight dudes in this club.
Yeah.
Right. And I'll never forget, bro. This fucking stripper dude walks up to my boy and the boss. Right. He's like, yeah, can I get you a dance? You know.
Yeah.
And my boss, he was like, no, I'm actually here with my boyfriend, you know, and points to him, and then he looks at my boy, and he's like, can I get you a dance, you know, and then my boy freezes, he pauses, he's like, and then he looks at me, he's like, nah, I'm here with my boyfriend, too. I was like, bro. Man, we together tonight, bro.
That's
what I'm saying, but
that's a good one.
But we walked out of there, and it was cool. I was like, you know, I'm still alive.
For sure.
Nobody crossed the line.
Yeah,
you know?
You were younger, so it probably took like a little experience, like
I had to, you know, it was real intense, though. I wouldn't go back, obviously, but I mean, like
anybody that has like a real, real problem with gay people, man, it's something
low
wrong.
Key, or them low key gay.
Yeah. Something happened to them probably in the past or something. Yeah. It's like, you know, I didn't see people flip out over gay people. It's like, bro, it really has nothing to do with.
Or they
shit.
Just never had any experience with gay people.
Yeah, but even then, it's like,
why
spaz
Bible
out?
Goers. Most of the time, it comes from the church, you know?
I don't even come across those anymore, ever.
But that's where it stems from.
Okay.
That's where it stems from, is the religious thing.
That's crazy, you know? Right?
Yeah,
that something promotes hate. That's supposed to be, you know what I mean?
Society used to be ruled by, you know, religion.
You know,
pretty much. And
it's crazy how many fucking, like, you know, as far as these Catholics and all these people, how many people are on that weird shit? I don't.
What's your belief?
Shit, man, I'm the sun god, nigga.
Okay.
No, I'm just playing.
I
believe in God. I'm spiritual as fuck, bro. Like, I'm so connected with God. Each one of my movements, I try to be, except for some of them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know,
I mean,
exactly. But more than none, like, I'm definitely guided by, you know, I would like to believe something higher than myself. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
So what do you think of God, though, because I grew up in an Italian Catholic church, and, you know, I grew up going to First Communion and all that shit. And my mom is very, very into church and all that. And so I kind of grew up seeing, like, God is like this, you know, this all-seeing eye in the sky.
Yeah,
he's like,
going to
punish you and this and that if you fuck up. But it's like, it was just weird. It just felt weird. And it was, have you ever been to Catholic church? See, never. I grew up going to Catholic church. Never. And Catholic church is very like ritualistic.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
You're
yeah.
not. We're not really singing. Mm-hmm. We're not. You know.
It's kind of just like
yeah.
the energy, kind of like
it's
weird.
It's very
in there.
Mellow.
Yeah, yeah.
Very creepy when
yeah.
you look at it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when I got a little bit older, I started going to Christian church.
Yeah, like Baptist type.
Kind of. So the Christian, I mean, the church I went to was called Sold Out at the time. It's called Wind City now. So
okay.
they're
oh, I know them.
Pastor Lockie, you know them?
Well, no, I know one of my homies, or my cousin, really, like somebody, his name's Andre.
Andre who?
Reed.
He works out?
Andre Reed.
No, he does.
He's a black dude.
Oh, yeah. Andre Reed?
Andre
yeah,
Reed.
Yeah,
that's my
him.
Dog.
Yeah, yeah,
that's bro.
Dre.
Been
yeah,
on
yeah,
him since
nah,
I was
yeah.
real young. So, yeah, I know he fucks with them.
Yeah, I know Dre.
Yeah.
I've known Dre for a while.
Yeah. I've been on him, bro, literally probably since I was like 7 years old.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy, man.
Mm-hmm.
Vegas is small. Man.
Yeah.
But so I started going to that church, and, man, I fell in love with everything they were doing.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I fell in love with... The
way. That nigga got a foot fetish too, by the way.
Who?
Dre.
Ah, okay,
we call
him,
bro.
Blast.
I got you, my nigga. That's my nigga, bro. But he know I'll be on his
yeah,
head.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
nigga got like pictures of like hundreds of people's feet in his
hey,
phone.
Man,
nah,
teach
bro. He nah.
Hey,
he's
probably paying some girls' bills
huh?
somewhere. You know?
Man, I hope not, Dre. Nah, go
bro,
ahead.
Bro, girls make money on
it's
this.
Crazy though, because he's the most like one of the most like loving, like inspiring people I know. But
bro,
everybody got
stripper,
their thing, I guess.
I met this stripper at Spearmint, and uh-huh. we were talking, mm-hmm. and she was like, "I literally pay my bills off of from my feet."
Wow.
From by sending
wow.
foot fetish pictures.
How did her feet look?
They look like regular little feet, dude.
Yeah. That's crazy.
I don't know, but
girls,
yes,
man, in this climate, what's going on?
It's crazy.
Crazy, bro.
I know, but
I'm kind of almost jealous.
No, but I tell girls all the time.
If I
had titties, I'd be a millionaire.
Yeah, man. I mean, I don't know. I don't like to think so, but
nah,
probably.
It's kind of.
The climate is crazy, especially in Las Vegas. We grew up here.
Yeah,
you got to think about that.
I just
that.
Remember in middle school and in high school, like, getting a picture of a girl in panties was like.
The biggest thing in the world.
Yo, you had to work for that.
Yeah.
You got to work
bro.
For that. You know what I mean?
I mean, some time
but
in.
But it's not going around, you know, but now it's like. You know, and I get it, like the whole feminist thing, and you know, don't be. I get it, like girls, you know, have been maybe shunned from expressing their sexuality.
That's
you know?
Rag, bro. I'm not buy into all that. Bro.
I don't buy into that shit either. I think it's like you just making it available for everybody.
Yeah,
you know, it just lowers your value.
Like
and
the
just,
slut shaming shit. Like, oh, it doesn't matter what you, bro. That stuff matters. There's crazy type of people out there. You know what I mean?
I mean, I get it. Like a girl will be treated differently if she has sex with a lot of. Men rather than vice versa.
Oh, yeah,
versa.
For sure.
Like,
for sure.
We're kind of praised
like
for that. You know?
I feel like it's wrong on both ends.
Yeah.
Not wrong
because
it's your choice, but if you're going to look down on it, I feel like, you know, shit, I've never been a hoe.
Yeah.
And I'm not proud of it.
Right.
You know what I'm
yeah,
saying?
I lost count. And
exactly.
And I wish. I'm not saying I wish, but, you know, it's just,
I can say I wish, bro. I definitely say, bro, I done went overboard before.
Right, man. but you've had to go through that to know that.
Exactly, you're
because,
right. Because then I would always think about, like, shit
yeah,
that I
like
want.
Like, now if I were to get married, I'd be like, okay, I pretty much got everything out of my system.
Yeah, for
you know
sure.
I mean?
Yeah.
But
man,
I don't know. I still got a couple on my list.
but, nah, man, I get, for the most part, niggas just passed that.
Yeah.
No,
I'm not
I'm
really
saying.
Tripping on it because.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
back to the church thing. I started going to that Christian church and they were just so dope. Man, everybody was dope. It was casual. It was fun.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like,
and I could go to church.
Yeah,
I'm with that.
But it was like because in a Catholic church they're gonna just read straight from the Bible.
Yeah.
In the Christian
they're
church
make it relatable.
They're gonna make it relatable. They're gonna interpret it, you know, to how it can apply to your life now.
Exactly.
But even then, I was like, man, this whole tithing shit is weird.
Yeah, exactly.
This whole like, oh no, why do I have to pay you? Like, I'm not paying God.
Bro,
like,
there's
I mean,
a few weird
just,
things,
they just
bro.
Make sense of it, and it just felt felt icky to me. And
bro,
I was like,
there's a few weird things. That number one, number two, like, you know, drinking the wine and bread thing.
Yeah.
Like, that seems so ritualistic. Why are we faking like this is this man's blood and flesh?
It's just symbolic, I guess. But
yeah, but blood and flesh. That's what we're symbolic. It's like it's weird.
It's just weird, and I think overall.
That's cannibalism, bro.
Yeah, it's weird, bro.
You know what I mean? And when I hear about all these stories, what they got going on in, like,
it's outdated.
Hollywood and
it's just outdated.
Other places, it's like, it sounds like that type of weird type of shit, like drinking people's blood and doing this and that. It's like, nah, bro.
Yeah, religion, just to me, it's just outdated, you know.
Yeah, 100%. I think it was, Joe Rogan made a good point on it. Mm-hmm. I think, like, religion was a, you know, obviously good and bad thing, but Reason is a good thing because it did introduce like humanity mm-hmm. into consciousness. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They kind of had to believe in a structure mm-hmm. to kind of get us past it maybe to something else that just is connectivity.
We were probably too fucking savage.
Exactly, yeah.
We were probably fucking each other up.
Bro, cannibalism, all type of shit. You know what I mean? So I think it's just maybe that next step into consciousness where, you know, it's just a universal. Obviously, no matter what religion you believe in, there is only one God. Yeah. You know what I mean? Or, I don't know. You know
does that make sense to me?
Exactly. It's a source. You know what I'm saying? So that's how I view God. I view it as like, you know, I view God as a source, mm-hmm. you know.
It's like an energy. Exactly. You know, but I don't know, man. It just got real weird for me. And to me, it's like the Bible, just so many weird shit. So much shit in the Bible that I just don't agree with that. Mm-hmm. I just didn't feel like if I don't want to come to church and waste my pastor's time if I'm not fully bought in.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if I can't fully believe in the Bible, I'm not going to pick and choose. I'm not going to take the good and just take that because that's like, what is that? Why are you just picking and choosing what you believe in from that you believe in the Bible as a Christian? You're supposed to, you know, that's the word, you know?
Yeah.
So I just feel like people pick and choose what they you know, kind of create their own religion.
Exactly.
I think it's okay. Like, I think church is good for a lot of things, especially for community.
Yeah.
You know, you go to church, you meet people, you know, you're involved with some positive. And
somebody I know you fuck with, DJ Valet.
Yeah.
You know, he's really,
He brought me back. Because I remember it was at Homeboy's birthday party. I'm not going to say his name because he don't deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I got hella people listening to my shit, but I was at this dude's birthday party, and Valet and JR Castro was there. You know, they're related, they're people, and me and Valet, we started talking, and then we found out we had the same pastor, because I actually went to that church and I left, and then I met Valet, and we just was chopping it up, me, him, and JR Castro, for like an hour about God and all this. Valet is the reason why I got back into church. I ended up leaving again just because whatever, but
he definitely this is around the time, a little bit after Lil Uzi, we were doing like warehouse parties, stuff like that together. This is when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And Valet, man, he had me just definitely questioning a lot of things, as far as, because that was a time where I just kind of got off religion, and I damn near probably got off of God for a second, because I'm like, all this shit is trickery, sorcery, weird shit. But you know, and he just kind of put it into place as far as, he just kind of put it into, like, perspective for me, like, you know, because he used to be in the streets when he was young.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think of it as, like, you know, that's something that helps him stay on the straight edge, and something that helps him, like, uplift his family. I don't see it as straight as a negative thing.
No,
because
it's definitely not. There's positives and negatives, I think, for some people. But I think it's good for some people, but for me, I just can't be in there if I don't like.
Yeah,
well, I'm not fully bought in.
If I'm not, if you're not fully in it, and you know, I don't mind going to church. I could go to a temple. I could go to any of that.
I would love to go and experience other religions.
Exactly, you know, because you know, sometimes there is just a feeling of like a presence of God and love and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? I think they are off in some points, because I don't think any fucking preacher or anything should be living in castles or have jets or any of that. I don't believe that. And while they're like, they got people at their church that's struggling, you know what I'm saying?
It's like praying on the poor, man.
Man, exactly. I think that's where the devilish stuff and greed comes in, you know.
I know, man. And it's being a pastor or whatever, probably got to be a tough gig.
Oh, yeah, 100%. You know, nobody's perfect, man.
It's just weird, man. But
if you're good at your job, man, I believe you should get paid. I think
you should just be a good person, man. I don't think it takes common sense to be a good person. Bro, don't kill nobody. Don't steal nothing.
Bro, at this point, you know, I think humans, we evolve enough to, like, you know, when we're born, we kind of know from right from wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But I think some people do need, there's certain personalities that do need structure.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, like, I don't really do good with structure. I don't do good with somebody telling me what to do, but some people need that.
Yeah,
we all know people that need.
Yeah.
Like the military is really good for some people, because they need that. If otherwise, they'll drift off into.
Yeah, otherwise, them Navy SEALs, they might be going and killing off other motherfuckers.
Yeah, like,
you know,
so structure is really good. I think there's positives and negatives to church, man. But hopefully we'll see some shit out of Vegas, though, like, coming up, you know,
without a doubt,
these next few years, you know.
I mean, there's already people out of Vegas outside of Vegas.
I know, but you know what I mean, like, I want to see somebody take over, like Wiz did Pittsburgh, or, you know.
I think
know,
the
like,
best way for people to focus on Vegas, coming up is to focus on yourself. And that's if you, even if you got to make a move or do whatever, I feel like at the end of the day, you know, your city's going to win. Yeah.
You still in contact with Dizzy?
Not at all, really. Honestly, out there, I did the show and stuff like that and did the interview, which I appreciate and stuff. But, I don't really keep it.
You pulled up to the shop? I haven't been to a shop yet.
I haven't even been there, bro, which is, you know, I should show love, but I haven't even been. I'm not even really big on clothes and stuff like that. You know what I mean? I wear a white tee, Pro Club. I'm straight.
I'm not a brand guy either.
Exactly.
If I'm going to wear some shit, I'm going to wear my own shit. Or LRG. I'm an LRG too. Oh, okay.
It's all I really rock, bro,
LRG. Because that's something I grew up with. That's something that we
exactly. I know.
High school, you know, there's Air Maxes and LRG.
And there's a few little brands like Volcom and different brands like that.
Yeah, but LRG was like me and my crew shit. You know what I'm saying? Our shit, you know, remember Fly Society?
That was a hard
Fly
one.
Society.
That
was a hard one. It was a lot of cool shit. There's a lot of local brands coming out too, man.
So, for sure.
I fuck with Dizzy shit, but I think that's it. Anything else you want to talk about?
That's good with me.
Thanks for coming, man.
All right, show love, get love. All right, man.
All right, man.